Forever Dog.
Does her boyfriend really want to kill her? This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's Broken Date.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are talking about R.L. Stine's Broken Date, written in 1988.
Fantastic cover.
Such a good cover.
One of the top ones we've seen.
Like very, very old school.
Yeah.
Like even more so than the Fear Street covers.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It's fun. Look it up.
So we are talking Broken Date by R.L. Stine. I'm going to see,
I guess, the Goodreads. Describe it for the visually impaired. It's like Broken is seemingly written in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then Date has this like sunset motif of yellow to red. And it is a blonde, blue-eyed white woman, like, looking scared and surprised in the reflection of a knife.
And the knife is, like, glimmering.
Yes, and it's, like, stuck in to, like, a red surface, just a void space.
Yeah, very of a vague. Surface.
And then a big class ring next to it with, like, a red gem heart and a little... What creature is that? It's like a little demon gargoyle thing. Monkey gargoyle.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's real fun. I guess it's just, no, that's just straight up a gargoyle.
Yeah, it's a little gargoyle.
Yep. Very fun.
Oh, she's very got fun.
Green eyes, possibly, not blue
yes,
eyes.
Yes, green eyes.
But yeah, such a good cover.
Yeah. Let me read the very stupid
short
literal
blurb.
One sentence blurb. Jamie's life with her boyfriend Tom is perfectly planned until the day she witnesses a jewelry store robbery and begins to receive strange phone calls, all after the usually reliable Tom fails to show up for a date.
That's a dumb one. There's a better one on. let me see the like actual back of the book. Also, it's so funny to me that it says R.L. Stine, author of Curtains, that other really stupid old book that we just read. Like Curtains being his like claim to fame is very funny to me.
I know. It's just like a very, I mean, it is also strange though. This one is strange as well.
Yeah, in a very fun way. I say read this one. So
definitely read this one.
The actual back of the book says second tagline, a date with death. Jamie and Tom are in love. They've gone steady since junior high and are planning to graduate from high school and attend college together. Then, of course, they'll marry. Everything's perfect until Tom breaks a date and all the horror begins. Suddenly, her perfectly planned dream has become a nightmare. She must talk to him. But what has happened to Tom? To Jamie's horror, the boy she loves is stalking her, calling her, threatening her. Tom can't afford to let her live, and there's nowhere she can hide. ...
Mmm.
Better back of the book, but like, certainly the other one is very accurate.
Very accurate because, you know, it's easy to be accurate when you barely say anything.
Yes, true.
When you say nothing at all.
It's also so funny how much of the terror is entirely in Jamie's head.
Entirely in her head. This girl is imagining things.
Like, there's a little bit of stalking from the guy who actually robbed the jewelry store, but mostly Jamie's doing it to herself.
And she's also really not well. She's
deeply
really,
unwell. And also,
really
bitch,
not
wear
well.
Your fucking glasses. Oh my God. I can't believe that this entire thing would have been prevented if she just worn her fucking glasses.
I know.
You are so nearsighted that you can't even recognize your own fucking boyfriend. Come on.
I mean, what is she? Like, imagine me without glasses, legally blind. Stumbling around being like, I think, well, honestly, I wouldn't have even known a robbery was happening. To be honest, I would have been like, it's quiet in here. Don't know what's
so
going
she's
on.
Just short of a Kelly.
Yeah, she's just short of a Kelly. But this girl, okay, I did think though, like this book did have me like, it is a good hook, right? Like
uh-huh.
Your boyfriend who you've been dating forever.
Since junior high.
Who you know is insecure about being poor, is due to come over and hang out at your place. He stands you up.
They're due to go skating.
Oh, go skating. That's right. Go skating, and then you guys are going to go to the dance later. Mm-hmm. And he stands you up, and that's never happened, ever, ever, ever. So to forget about it, you go to the mall with your best friend, where you then see him robbing a store and murdering the little store clerk. She keeps calling him little.
That would be traumatizing.
Yes.
I mean, even if you didn't think it was your boyfriend, seeing a man murdered right in front of you.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And then you have to see him that night, and he's acting weird, and you're acting weird, and you're like, I don't know who this person is anymore. Like, I was like, this is such a cool, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and it's kind of it's a weird premise for a slasher.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Well, and especially since the twist is that it's this guy we've never heard of before. Who just has blonde hair.
Okie Farnum and his girlfriend, Dolly. I was absolutely loving Okie and Dolly.
Oh, loved
them.
I
was like, this is fantastic. The fact that they then kidnap, and his preferred method of murder is to drown people. And he's like, it's cleaner that way. And I was like,
what are you talking about?
That has
got
to be one of the hardest ways to kill a person.
I mean, I guess there's no blood, but you could just suffocate someone with a pillow. You don't need the water. What's with the water?
You have to then fill an entire body of water.
Yeah.
That's always said. He keeps going, it's time to take a bath. I loved it. I truly, like, R.L. Stein, back when he was like actually like inventive and having fun with his own work.
So funny.
So funny.
And then this too,
friend Anne Marie, who we're told is funny, I genuinely found funny.
I genuinely found her funny.
And she was also funny. A good friend.
Yeah, she was a good friend. I wanted to, our introduction to Dolly is that she like appears out of the woods and trips the Jamie. Main character, Jamie, while she's running. And then she's a tall, thin woman with bleached red hair piled up in a bun on top of her heavily made up face. She wore ragged jean cutoffs, a bright blue and green bowling shirt, and white plastic boots.
I love her.
Me too.
I love her. And I love Okie.
I know.
It's fucking weirdo.
Yeah. Very strange. Time,
he thinks, so she sees him in the jewelry store and is like, oh my God, it's my boyfriend, Tom.
Yeah.
And Okie sees him and is like, oh my God, she recognizes me from when I got jailed for killing that entire family in
killing the
project last year.
Family by drowning the whole family.
So he's chasing her because he thinks he's been clocked.
Yeah.
But actually, she thinks he's somebody else entirely and was on her way to the police to report her boyfriend for the robbery and murder.
If he had just let it go.
Instead, he kidnaps her in a van. And Tom sees and hops on the van.
Oh, my God.
Tom is a hero.
Tom's a hero. I also laughed so hard just imagining her pinballing around in the back of that van while he's driving. She just keeps, like, bouncing around. She's like, this hurts. Where was Tom then when he stood her up?
He left swim practice early quitting swim practice because he was getting a part-time job.
Oh.
But I don't remember why that made him late. Because he told the coach.
Yeah, he left early.
Or maybe he left practice early and stayed after to talk to the coach, but that's why he wasn't in the locker room because he like.
Oh, wait. So was the job with the coach?
No, to tell the coach that he was quitting. He was telling the coach he was quitting that day. So maybe that took up extra time. And he like didn't want to tell her that he was quitting just yet because she thought she would be disappointed in him.
Right. But good thing he's a good swimmer and he can hold his breath for a long, long time. Because it just so happens that Okie's favorite way to kill people is with drowning. So he just held his breath. The thing that I think we need to be concerned about with Jamie is that she does imagine a full scene in which she stabs her boyfriend to death.
Yes.
And believes it.
And runs.
And runs.
Believing it. And then is like, wow, I guess I was just daydreaming. And I was like, Jamie has had a break with reality.
Well, because also then she's like, oh, wait. Or is this the daydream now when he's talking to me?
She doesn't know what's real anymore.
No.
She's legitimately untethered.
Was it set off by seeing this murder? Or do you think she had something else going on?
It was apparently set off by seeing this murder because everything was like completely normal before. And in fact, she was the level-headed one and Tom gets over emotional in fights.
That's right. I remember that. I do remember that.
But immediately she's like, we're getting so many fake outs in this book. Like that moment when he like wants to tell, he's like, Jamie, I have to talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
Leave the dance early so I can tell you and come to the like wood shop or whatever. And he grabs
that pick.
He grabs an ice pick or something or just some like scary silver pick. And he's like, I have something important to tell you.
It's pacing.
Pacing, like so crazed. And so she thinks she takes the pick from him and stabs him with it instead and like
to death.
Runs screaming from the room. Runs into Anne Marie. Anne Marie's like, oh my God, what's going on? She's like, I killed him. And then Tom comes out and he's like, I don't know what happened. And he's still holding the pick. And she's like, what?
And he's literally like, you were just kind of like staring and then you ran away.
And then you just started screaming.
And she's like, oh.
Huh.
But she's like, I have to go. And he's like, can I take you home? And Anne Marie's like, I think maybe you've done enough.
And she's like, I'll take her home. And she's like, yeah, I want Anne Marie to take me home. And he's like, okay. And all he was going to tell her was that he quit swim team. I don't know why he needed to tell her in the scariest classroom holding a weapon.
I know. Also,
they might not be in shop. I might be imagining that.
No, because there were a bunch of tools.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then I started to doubt my own memory.
No.
Much like Jamie.
Much like Jamie. Oh.
Oh no, who are these two Toms in the room with me?
Oh my God, when she still is like, there's two Toms. I was like, oh no.
But Jamie. Also like her brain is clearly trying to tell her that it wasn't Tom because she keeps having dreams about two Toms.
I know.
Her brain is like, you should have been wearing your glasses. It was not Tom.
I know. Her dreams are funny because they're like, I would not say prophetic. But deep down, she does know that she is incorrect. Yeah. But yeah, most of the scariness comes from either her dreams or her imagination or her just like running around, being scared. I guess he is stalking her, the evil Oki.
Mm-hmm. And he is calling her and threatening her.
That's right.
But he's like, he's disguising his voice.
How come he doesn't stutter on the phone?
Maybe the exercise of disguising his voice stops the stutter.
Right. Because he's like putting on a character or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then so for most of the book, we don't know Oki exists at all.
Yeah.
And we're just like, I guess the boyfriend did it. I guess it
was
Tom.
Yeah. Did you think it was Tom?
I didn't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah. I was like, this could go either way.
I was like, he could have like a weird secret twin, or
he could have
multiple personalities,
or it is him, and he's just like straight up like, I decided money was more important to me than you,
right?
Anything could have happened.
It really anything.
Like because nothing was so concrete that it was like, oh, it has to be this,
right? Yeah, and then so I think I had several options in my head that I was like, oh, it could be these things. And then the one option I never, ever would have thought of in 100 million years was what the answer was, which is that it's a random man named Oki.
Oki Farnum.
Who escaped from prison. He had prison for life for killing an entire family by drowning. And now he's going to drown her and Tom.
And only Tom, because Tom jumped on the top of his van so that he could save Jamie. Because he drove him out to the fucking woods.
And, oh, right, because also that's the other thing, like, she gets to the woods to begin with because Tom's, like, run into the woods.
Tom, like, attacks Oki.
Yeah. And he's like, run! Go to the woods! And she's like, Tom, two Toms, Toms!
I should wear my glasses.
And the whole, she doesn't wear her glasses once in the entire book. Nope. She's just no glasses, raw dogging the world.
Raw dogging the world with her unadulterated eyeballs.
Yeah. And she can't see anything. So he captures, Tom does capture her and put her in his van. And, I'm sorry, this is after he's, she has already run away, and then she gets captured by Donna.
Yep. Or Dolly.
Dolly.
I love that he's like both has an accent and a stutter.
Yeah. Kind of two things going on. And then he's like, maybe we should keep her for a slave.
Or maybe he doesn't have an accent and I just imagine him with an accent because his name is Oki Farnham. You gave him kind of a white trash
thing. You, yeah.
He just reads as hillbilly to me.
To me, it's weird. I didn't get a hillbilly thing from him.
It's probably just because his name is Oki.
Yes, the Oki thing. But here's the thing. When you did the accent, I was like, correct. That is his accent.
That is what he sounds like.
But like literally this woman, do you know what I was picturing her as?
What?
You know the movie Dolly? The movie The Rescuers?
Uh-huh.
The mean red-haired lady?
Yes.
I was picturing her.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I think Dolly's like supposed to be like in her 20s.
Probably. So it's like that woman pre-kidnapping little girls. Little orphan girls. Mm-hmm. And keeping crocodiles as pets.
Why does she do that? Is she trying to ransom her? What is she doing with her? Why does she have her?
It's like something about jewels.
Right. She wants that big jewel.
And she's like having to like find the jewels. She's having the little girl do.
What?
I typed in The Rascals. That's not what that movie's called. Rescuers.
I do love the Rescuers movie.
I haven't seen it. It was just like so upsetting to me. She was so sad. I couldn't handle how sad the little girl was. It was so.
Wait, like recently you tried to watch it?
I mean, like as a little girl and then like even like 10, 15 years ago, I was like, this is so sad. Penny is the saddest. She just like, really she sad. Needs parents.
Well, and like I also love her relationship with the cat at the orphanage. That like he's like her only friend.
Rufus?
I think it's Rufus. I'm just trying to see why the fuck this lady.
She's searching for the world's largest diamond, the Devil's Eye. Mice learn that Medusa and Snoops are currently at the Devil's Bayou with Penny, whom they have kidnapped and placed under the guard of two trained crocodiles, Brutus and Nero.
But why?
They learn that Medusa... I forgot her name was Medusa. That's so good. Medusa plans to force Penny to enter a small blowhole that leads down into a blocked-off pirate's cave where the Devil's Eye is located. So it's like an Aladdin situation. She has to enter the Cave of Wonders.
Right. Right.
It's just, yeah, just because she's small.
Interesting. I like this movie. I watched it recently to like fall asleep to, but I couldn't remember why she had captured her.
I think that the 70s Disney movies are unfairly maligned just because they like weren't given as big of budgets, but the stories are good and interesting.
Yeah. And it
like Robin Hood, Rescuers, yeah. Sword in the Stone.
Honestly, Rescuers still looks better than many modern cartoons because it's still hand-drawn, hand-painted, even mm-hmm. though it's a little cheaper. Like, there are certainly certain frames where I'm like,
Mm-hmm. But they're, like, really inventive.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting story. And they're not formulaic. Story. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they get unfairly maligned.
Did you know that this is the first Disney animated film to have a sequel with The Rescuers Down Under in 1990?
I did not know it was the first. Yeah. I knew it had a sequel, but
so
many years later.
When I was little, actually as a little kid, I think I was more into The Rescuers Down Under, but I watched it and it's not good. I watched it recently.
The animation is amazing.
But in The Rescuers Down Under?
Yeah. But then the story, it's like you swapped. Not very good. I don't remember the story at all. I don't remember being interested in it at all.
Yeah. I really like The Rescuers. And plus, I always like Eva Gabor and Bob Newhart. Like, I feel like their voices are so good in this.
Yep.
which she also did Aristocats.
Well, Zsa Zsa is a maybe not a national treasure because she's Hungarian, but a treasure.
Yeah, it was great. I really, really love the Aristocats as well, actually. Really love the Aristocats. What's not to like about the Aristocats?
That's another 70s one.
Yeah, 1970 mm-hmm. specifically. I'm trying to think. Oh, was it the 80s for Black Cauldron?
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Cauldron. That was like when it was like the weird time. I remember
Black Cauldron. 80s is like not as great to me. Like you've got Black Cauldron, you've got Oliver and Company, which like I loved as a child, but I don't know that it's good. I haven't seen it in years.
The Black Cauldron is scary. I remember being really scared by it when I was little. Oh, it has my least favorite character. Oh, Gurgi. I hate Gurgi. I don't like characters like this. He's just like a disgusting little freak. Seriously, seriously. He is a disgusting little freak that just runs around and steals apples and he's selfish and mean. And he talks like this, Gurgi, Gurgi. Talks like that. Disgusting. Disgusting. Truly hate him. You know what? I'm about to say I hate another character for similar reasons because I think he's also very disgusting. And I know this is going to be very unpopular and people are going to get really mad at me. Are you ready? I hate Hoggle from Labyrinth. I think he's disgusting.
I have never loved Hoggle. I'm with you. I like, come after
disgusting.
Us.
Disgusting.
It's just that like he's so
vile.
His face is like so like, it's such a barrier for me. And I know that that's like mean. I also like really hate anyone who refers to themselves in the third person.
Yes, I don't like it. It's like fucking Schmeagol.
I sort of like, I like him once he's nice to her though.
I can't even
but I
look
really
at him.
Just like am annoyed by his behavior.
Yes, he is
early
I don't
in the
care
movie as well.
I don't care that he eventually becomes a loyal friend. I don't mm-hmm. care. And this is the same with Gurgi. Extremely similar vibes of like, I'm a disgusting, selfish, horrible little creature.
Uh-huh.
And then, oh, but then I'm going to become a loyal friend.
Ludo, on the other hand, love Ludo.
Ludo.
He's the big, like.
Oh, I love Ludo.
Yeah.
No, I like Ludo.
Ludo's friend.
Not disgusting.
Yeah.
I think the issue for me is the disgustingness.
He's just like his gross little goblin face.
I know.
I'm sorry. It's a gross little goblin face.
I know. I know this. I don't like him and I don't like Gurgi. I think for me, they kind of go in the same. But you know what's weird? Tell me this. Why do I think?
Well, Gurgi sacrifices himself.
Good. fucking make yourself useful. He wasn't being useful being around. He's not dead. Gurgi doesn't die.
Him in the end.
Yeah, he doesn't fucking die.
But
unfortunately, they should have just buried him.
He's just resurrected.
They should have buried him. Just been like, oh, Viking funeral. Destroy the corpse. Tell me this though.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I like? Oh my God, what's his name? Precious, my precious.
Gollum.
I like Gollum. Mm. I think he's disgusting too, but I think
maybe it's just Andy Serkis's performance.
He's funny. I think
such a good performance.
I think he's also really funny.
Well, I find Gollum so like pitiable and empathetic.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be that way. He tries.
So then why can we not assign that to Hoggle or Gurgi? And I'm speaking
well,
only for myself.
Hoggle
about Gurgi.
Isn't, yeah, because I don't know Gurgi, but
I don't know Gurgi.
I don't know him. But Hoggle isn't a pathetic
no.
figure,
and he's not like
and
someone
so just, like,
who
I
is
don't,
eaten
like,
by his own greed.
I don't like. There's not that much for me to like latch onto. He's not nice.
No,
he's selfish. He's misleading her. Like I know that he's being threatened, but I just like. He's not a pathetic enough figure for me to be like, oh, poor Hoggle.
I also think it's hilarious that like Gollum wants to betray them at every moment. I think it's so funny. I'm just like, ah, you can't trust that squirrely son of a bitch. But
like, it is interesting because you like by and large do like disgusting figures.
No, the master, first of all, he's confident. He's funny. He's powerful. That's the other thing. He's not this subservient little simp bitch.
He's powerful.
He's not a little simp bitch. I don't like a disgusting little freak. I guess
Hoggle is a little simp bitch.
Yes. And so is Gergi.
I'm like thrown off by like Hoggle's like, or at least this is Jareth's implication, is that Hoggle's like in love with Sarah, and that always made me really uncomfortable.
Ew. Yeah. Also,
like, Jareth is basically like, you want to fuck her.
Yeah.
And he like can't deny it.
He can't deny it. It's like, say, look me in the eyes and say you don't want to. I need to maybe examine myself and be like, why? Because here's the other thing. I hate the minions, disgusted by them, hate them, don't like them. But I think the Rabbids are really funny. Do you know Rabbids?
No.
They're basically like minions, but they're Aardman animation style. And they're like, so they're like claymation-y. Uh-huh. And they kind of do similar things. Like they're mean to each other and they hit each other. They're like, you know, fucking Three Stooges humor. They hit each other.
I hate that humor.
Yeah, I don't like it either. But so that's why I hate the minions. Because I don't like that.
I don't know. So I go back and forth on the minions. I haven't seen much of their work. I haven't seen much of their work.
All they do is say like banana and like hit each other on the head.
Yeah. I forget why I'm even saying that. I'm not sure. I think I've only seen the first movie. But I think I thought they were like kind of funny.
I think the Rabbids are funny though. I think the Rabbids are funny, and I don't know why. Why do I like Rabbids?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, there's always an exception to the rule.
The Raving Rabbids. Okay, they're not Aardman style. They're not. I was incorrect. They're just like, okay, mischievous rabbit-like aliens who speak gibberish and scream wildly whenever they experience...
Sorry, what are they in again?
They're a multimedia franchise developed and published by Ubisoft. So they're a video game.
Okay, that's very much not familiar with them.
Right. They first arrived in Rayman 4 as like little rabbit-like aliens, and they just basically have this blank stare.
Mm-hmm. Well, is there like a wit to them?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they're kind of...
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you are responding to just like a wittier writing.
Yeah. And they kind of like, sometimes they dress like sexy and some of them dress like like cool. And like they have like little personalities. But I know that the thing is, I know that the freaking minions dress sexy too. Mm-hmm. I think. I'm not fully in on minion lore, so I don't really know. But I also just, maybe because I think rabbits are kind of cute.
I think the minions are kind of cute.
Ew!
They basically look the same as the rabbits, Kelly. Don't even.
Hold on, I'm going to look at minions. Oh, minions versus rabbits. Oh my God. What is happening? Minions versus rabbits.
It's because they like serve the same purpose, I'm guessing.
Cartoon or, like,
they're
Fight
the
Club.
Same character type.
Do you think that the minions from Despicable Me were inspired by the Rabbids?
Mm.
8 years ago, someone asked this. Oh, see? Someone else says, Lindsay, the Rabbids are dumb but funny, whereas the minions are dumb but annoying.
I think that's a personal opinion, Kelly. And I think that you can Google and find people who are going to agree with you. But also, I haven't seen the Rabbids. I probably would like the Rabbids, too.
I think the Rabbids are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to type different Rabbids, and I'm just going to, like, look at the images of them. I'm going to look at Rabbid images.
Instead of two Toms, it was two Rabbids. And throughout the whole book, she's like, is that my Rabbit? I'm not wearing my glasses.
Oh, my God. Way to bring it back. They dance disco sometimes, the rabbits.
I like disco.
They love disco. They really do.
Kelly, you can't make me choose, and I don't have to, and I won't. I won't Sophie's choose between choice. Minions and rabbits, especially because I am not familiar with the rabbits.
They really
don't play video games. I don't know what they're like.
They're so cute. They're so cute.
I think, like, the more you talk, the more you love them.
I love them.
Why don't you marry them?
Oh, God. Maybe I will, and then I'll get divorced again. After we record, I have to get back on the phone with freaking LASC and try and figure out this freaky divorce paperwork thing. You guys,
getting divorced hard.
Sucks.
Too much paperwork.
It's so much paperwork, and just make sure you have everything right, because the littlest thing, they'll be like, no, wait 6 more months.
I don't understand why you have to wait. Why can't you just correct the thing and then resubmit?
I actually don't know if I have to wait. I think we'll see. We'll see. Because every time I've resubmitted, it's been rejected. So I can't tell you what it's like.
Infuriating.
To have it sent. And then just go. My neighbor's really going ham on like a vacuum outside.
I hear it.
Yeah. He loves to do that. He loves it. Okay. Broken date. Anyone else even freaky happens in this book?
Well, she just keeps imagining things, like other things will happen where she's like, she's given a letter from Tom because she goes to his house to confront him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That fake out. I laughed so hard.
And then it's just some random guy there. And she's like, did I go to the wrong house? And she like runs out and she looks at the house. She's like, no, it's the right house. I was like, you literally don't know if you're at the right house. Put on your glasses. And the guy is like, Tom isn't here right now because his dad was in a horrible car crash last night, and so the family went to be with him. I just happened to like be here picking something else up, but they said that you might stop by, and here he wrote you this letter. And she's like, oh good. And then she reads the letter and it's like, Jamie, that wasn't me you saw at the mall, and the earrings I gave you were my grandmother's, and anyway, we're going to talk and we're going to work it all out. And then it's like, at least that's what she imagined the letter might say. And I was like, R.L. Stein, fuck yourself.
And then
that is an unforgivable fake out.
I laughed so hard when she runs away with the letter. And then this dog comes out.
A little terrier jumps up, snatches the letter from her hands. I was like, I don't know if she's ever going to read this letter.
I literally thought she would never read it.
Sort of disappointed that she does eventually read the letter. And the letter is like, I'll be home later. Don't worry. And I was like,
guess we all act crazy sometimes.
Yeah. And I was like, who leaves this short of a letter saying nothing?
Truly. And I did also think it was so funny that there really was no payoff or stakes to the fact that like a random man answered the door.
Yeah.
Doesn't pay off. Nothing.
No.
It's just like, oh, okay.
Yep. Which is very funny.
So funny. I'm sorry. I've been clicking around.
Are you still looking for?
I'm looking at rabbits.
Rabbit stuff.
Well, what I came across was this deviant art
oh dear page. Oh no.
But this one guy he just drew some original rabbits and he like gave them names, but they're just like fake, not real rabbits that he made. Their names are Baxter, Descartes,
okay,
Elaine, and Oliver. But I am laughing at the idea of being like possessed with the idea that you need to
make. These are my original rabbits.
Original rabbits.
God bless.
Wow. Beautiful. Sorry. I was engaged in paying attention. I just was also haunted by.
Sure.
Man, people are. I don't think I've spent a lot of time on DeviantArt.
People will people draw are fan art and OCs of anything. People will be a fan of anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you can find anything, right? Anything on here? Any pairing you might want?
Probably.
I'm more of a fanfic gal than a fan art gal. Because fan art, it's only one picture. And then what?
It's a skill, though.
Oh, God, it's a skill. I just mean as far as consuming it. Because, yeah, like, well, fanfic, it's like a whole story.
I'm more of a storyteller than I am an artist. So, yeah, I'm with you. But, like, so much cool fan art was done of Infinity Train.
I mean,
I loved looking at that because it was my thing.
Yeah. I do understand, like, I like seeing fan art and, like consuming it. But just because for me, I'm like, bang for my buck, a fanfic, it's like a whole story. I guess you can imagine stories with fan art. Anyway.
Well, some people are just more about
visual.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. it's really just, yeah, art versus mm-hmm. writing. Mm-hmm. What are you into?
What were we on about with Jamie and Tom?
The dog gets the letter.
So this dog fucking takes the letter. I was like,
and then, yeah, the letter doesn't say anything like anything reassuring whatsoever.
Oh, but that even what she imagined, though, for me, because at first I thought this was the letter he actually wrote because it's a fake out. Mm-hmm. I was like, how does he know even about like that she would think it's him being the killer?
Wait, what?
Like, because his first sentence in his letter to her that she imagines is, it wasn't me in the jewelry store.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd it's be just like, well, then why would you say that?
Yeah, it's like, but you don't know anything about that.
Yeah, you don't know anything about that.
That would indicate to me that it is you.
Yeah, you don't know that I'm haunted by the possibility that you could be the killer.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
I agree.
But it's not, it doesn't matter because it's not real.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's just an imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't know why he even wrote that letter.
Yeah, we all, it's kind of like crazy sometimes. Letter.
Love, Tom. Huh? It's
like, why are you okay?
Okay.
Unnecessary.
But then, yeah, she finally gets the guts to, with her help of Anne Marie. She's like, "Shit, I have to tell the cops that my boyfriend is a murderer. I have to do it."
Mm-hmm. She has some, there's another fake out too. I guess it's, she has two dreams that are fake outs. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. One where he has glowing eyes that are many different colors.
Yeah.
I was like, Jamie, are you okay?
The answer is no.
No, she's very much not.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know that you saw me. I know you saw me, Jamie.
He's being really weird because it's a dream.
Because it's a dream.
Because it's not real.
Yep. It's just some guy named Oki who murdered a family. Which is scary.
That is scary. And it's also just like such a fun, weird choice that you cannot see coming.
No, there's no way because there are no hints whatsoever.
None.
And I was just like, okay, I guess there's a character named Oki and he's the killer. Fine.
Like, oh, I agree.
Yeah, wow. Sure. Scary.
And then, yeah, he's just like wild. He seemingly does drown Tom. And I was like, I don't think he's actually dead, but maybe.
I was like, well, at first I was like, oh my God, he died. And then he was like, exactly 3 minutes. And I was like, oh, I forgot he's a swimmer.
Yeah. So good using that.
But also 3 minutes. I can't hold my breath for that. 3 minutes
is very long. And their coach is out of his mind.
That's right.
To make them practice holding their breath for 4 minutes at a time. That man is sick and should not be coaching children. That's fucked up. Unnecessary. They are swimming in a swim meet. They are not swimming like under the sea.
You know, Arlstein has done this again. Because remember when he did the one where the girl was a saxophone player?
No.
Yeah, so she was a saxophone player. She could hold her breath for a long time. I'm serious. I didn't
remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And then
I love
at the end,
using stuff like that. Yeah. Though.
And then at the end, the killer like tries to strangle her, and he's like, "Well, suffocated you for long enough.
Oh.
And then she's like, I'm a saxophone player.
That's very funny.
Yeah, he likes to do that trope. It's very
God
funny.
Bless.
God bless. I love it.
I love a skill paying off.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why I saw it coming too, because I remembered.
Yeah, that makes sense. You remembered that plot point. Yeah. From
I want to say it was in A Fear Street, but I'm trying to figure out which one it was. I know that you guys will remember. Someone will say.
Yeah, let us know which it is.
It's not Silent Night. No, it's not Silent Night. Because
no.
Can you imagine Reva playing the saxophone? What a joke. Ew. No. Absolutely
would never
ew.
Play an instrument.
No.
No. She doesn't have time for that.
But definitely read this one. I thought it was really funny and like it's so fast and it's so silly and dumb in a good way.
Yeah. I really liked the ending a lot.
Oh yeah. So the end part with like Oki and Dolly.
Yeah, and he seemingly and Tom having jumped on the hood of the
I cannot believe he jumped
van,
on the hood of the van
and staying on it the entire drive, and then seemingly getting drowned and coming back to life and saving Jamie.
And then when Dolly tries to kill, so Dolly comes at Jamie, with like a knife, but then she trips and she swings the knife. Falls forward and hits her head on the corner of a coffee table. I thought she was dead, but according to Jamie, she's just unconscious. But then, did Oki die? What happens with Oki?
Oki gets knocked out as well, and they both get arrested, I believe.
So they just got bonked.
Yeah, they both get bonked by Tom with like a broom handle.
Oh, right. I thought it was really sexy when Tom swings that broom handle really hard and knocks Oki out.
Absolutely. When he like saves Jamie. That's
I
sexy.
Loved it. So sexy.
Good for when him. And then he's like, wait, you thought I... And he's like, do me a favor. From now on, wear your glasses. And she's like, okay, if you do me a favor. And he's like, what? And she's like, never break a date again. That's the end of the book. I was like, God bless. This is maybe like one of my favorite R.L. Stein.
Yeah, it is so funny. Like to add to the sexiness too, he has just tricked everybody into thinking he's dead. He's wet. He's dripping. He gets
he's
up.
Strong.
He's strong. And
capable.
He, like literally the way
R.L. Stein's favorite feature in a man, white blonde hair.
White blonde hair. Oh, I did forget that his hair is white blonde and I do want to throw up, but hold on. Let me see if I can pull up the end of this book because I felt like I was kind of titillated with how it was described. Hold on.
Gotta open it up.
Ooh. All right, let's see. Nope, that's not what I want to do. There you go. Oh my God. I'm going to kill somebody. I am literally going to kill somebody.
You're going to give him a bath?
Yeah.
That's how Oki phrases it.
Yes, it
Time
is.
Time to take a bath.
Okay. I wish that Open Library would remember me.
This is like, while phone. You're doing that, this is very stupid. But so I still had world maps open from when we were talking about... The Poppy War.
Uh-huh.
This is just an idiotic statement. So obvious that it shouldn't even be spoken.
Okay.
But it's like so fucked up how all these countries are drawn. It's just like so random. And like, why, like one country like, taking over another is like so wrong and stupid.
It's like gerrymandering, but big.
It's like gerrymandering, but to the death.
Gerrymandering to the death.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this.
Tom!
okay. Oh, no. She, Jamie, throws a knife with all of her might.
Oh, yeah, and gets him in the shoulder.
Oki.
But that's not what does it.
No. Tom.
That just helps.
Okay.
So, like, Jamie is being proactive, and God bless her.
Yeah, she is. Okay, hold on. So,
and she is also, like, it would be pretty difficult, like, trying to like sob your way through fighting them because she thinks Tom is dead.
Right. Okay. So this part. Tom moved forward quickly, his eyes revealing more fear than anger, water running down his face, dripping from his hair. He ran up behind Oki, who still hadn't turned around, who had no idea why Jamie was looking beyond him. Tom raised a broom handle high in the air and brought it down hard on Oki's head. I was like, ah, 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 Tom, I love yes. it. Tom, you're killing it. We love it. So yeah, read this one. But yeah, that's the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thank you for listening.
Recommend it.
Huge recommend.
Mm-hmm. Very silly. Mm-hmm. Very silly one with a great cover. But thank you everyone for listening. We really appreciate you, and thank you to our Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to become one, go to patreon.com/teencreeps. Extra stuff for you there as a thank you. And a special shout out to our Patreon producers who give $15 a month. Thank you, Adam Halwitz,
Amanda K,
Amy T,
Anne Dwyer,
Caitlin L,
Carrie H,
Courtney McPhail,
Danielle Lamana,
Drew Oranis,
Ellie Lagos,
Elizabeth E,
Emma M,
Erica T,
Aaron B,
Gabriella Santiago,
Gwendolyn Ludovic,
Hannah L,
Jeremy Kronk,
Jeremy Goodfellow and Marco Pavlicic,
Jesse T,
Jessica Smith Harper,
Jessica U,
Jonathan Venable,
Kat Miller,
Keith Anderson,
Kelly Burns,
Carrie N,
Kodiak Siegel,
Landry Desmond,
Laring Nguyen,
Laura Hooper,
Maddie M,
Megan Lozier,
Melody,
Micah Eunice,
Miguel Camacho,
Molly G,
Molly Marks,
Noah Spargo,
Rachel C,
Randy Klett,
Rebecca Goss,
Robert F,
Rogue Kalahua,
Sarah Wallen,
Sasha Gibson,
Sylvie T,
Victoria Beck,
and Whitney E.
Yay!
Thanks, everyone. We really appreciate you. We'll see you next episode. Until then, keep it creepy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.